We Need to Pray by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
This morning we're trying to conclude 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we've talked about some of these things, but we want to go back and encourage and show what's going on. What's going on here is we need to pray. Always start with prayer. And God will do better. Our hearts will be in tune and we'll be ready to receive what God has for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I just pray, God, that you'll take it today. Help us to apply your truths, because your truths, they do not change. They are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we can depend on you to be with us, to help us. If we place our hearts in your control, guide us, help us to hear what you want us to hear, help us to go out and do the things you want us to do. We ask that you help us as we receive the word today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Wow. Paul in previous verses says, we are fools for Christ. In other words, we look foolish to the world. The world doesn't understand what we're about. The world doesn't realize how imperative it is today to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Much of the world today has no clue how close we are to the Lord's return. The Lord will return soon, we believe. We need, as believers, to share that important fact and the importance of trusting Christ before Christ does come. Because when he comes, it's going to be like I call two phases. He will come in the air for his saints, and then they will be in heaven with him. And what will happen then is the tribulation will begin. And so that's when the time clock of 7 years starts in the great trouble on earth, called the Great Tribulation. Talked about in God's Word in the Old Testament and the New. God doesn't want this to be a surprise to anybody that he is coming back. The Lord himself said, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what Jesus shared with his disciples before he left this earth. And when he left this earth, he went up into heaven, praise the Lord, and he is there, as we taught this week, he's there interceding on behalf of us. We can pray, and he's always on the job. He's always listening. He's always about the work. Could you imagine listening to all those believers all over the world? Would that be confusing for you? To listen to millions of conversations at the same time. Wouldn't it be confusing to you? Listen to millions of people all at once. That confuses me, just even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. How the Lord can think about all of these different people and listen to all these requests at the same time and get those answers that people need back to them. Praise God. He can do that because he's what the theologians say, omnipotent. He is all powerful. He is all wise, omniscient. All powerful. Aren't you glad our God is all powerful?
Yes.
All knowing, all understanding. He is truth through and through, just like his word. And that's why the Apostle John begins his gospel with these words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we read further on there in that first chapter, Jesus Christ is that Word. He's that Word. He's the Word of God. He is the truth of God for us. He is our way of salvation. That's Jesus Christ. That's what he is for us. And I'm thankful every day that I know a Savior, that I can share people with. And I can share with them the fact that, hey, he knows you better than you know you. In fact, he knows what you're going to do later on today. You have some ideas of what you might try to do, but he knows exactly what you're going to do before you do it. That's the God we serve. Paul knew all these things. He was trying to share with these individuals whom he had brought to Christ. And you know what? The one who has the privilege to share Christ with somebody, and they get to know Christ because the Holy Spirit takes those words, the Word of God that's shared, touches a heart, and that life is transformed and changed and made new by the Lord. That's a special privilege. Don't miss out. When God gives you that opportunity, take it. Share Christ with others. The things he's done for you, he'll do for them. Hey, praise the Lord. You know, he's no respecter of persons. Just because I get a big checkbook doesn't mean that he doesn't care about you. Now, my checkbook is not big. But I'm related now to the one who has the biggest checkbook in the world. He, in fact, the Bible says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, yes. Doesn't he? It's all his. It's all his. Everything you have is God's. That's the way we need to look at things. But we all have a special relationship with somebody. Somebody that shared Christ with us. Mm-hmm. And we ought to have a special place in our heart for them. All these believers at Corinth, the Apostle Paul had shared with them, and they trusted Christ under his ministry. And now they were saying, are you really an apostle? We don't think so. Paul said, you want me to come with a big stick? Or do you want me to come in love? I'm going to straighten you out when I get there. That's what he's saying. I'm going to let you know where the real power is. The real power lies with my God. He's in charge. He's in control. And we as God's people today need to let him take charge. Let him be in charge of our lives. So they were making light of Paul and his ministry. Paul responds in verse 14. He says, I write not these things to shame you. That they ought to have been delighted that the Apostle Paul had shared with them Christ. Instead, they were thinking about all the other people they had listened to. You know, you ever listen to different preachers? I've listened to quite a few. You know who the greatest preacher of all time was? Jesus Christ. Because he was not only the truth, he shared the truth. And people received that truth. But he also says in his word, greater things will you do. You do that have followed me. Think about that. That amazes me, because Jesus did some awesome things. This past week we learned about how he raised the dead, gave health and healing to people, all kinds of miraculous things. He calmed the storm. I think I'd have been out of there, man. I wouldn't have been on that ship, and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. All of a storm was raging on. And you know what? When things start raging in my life, I get kind of scared, just like those apostles did. All Jesus has to say is, "Peace, be still." Yeah. And He can say that in our hearts every day when we reach a critical junction in our life and we don't know what to do. Jesus does. He knows what to do. And Jesus cares. More than that, He cares for us right where we're at in our lives. Paul reminds them he was the one who brought Christ to their attention. He was the first one there. And then they began to look around at all these people. In fact, they said, one said, "I'm a Paul." Another said, "I'm a Paulus." And the real spiritual one said, I'm a Christ. You know? I'm a Christ. But you know what? That's what we all ought to be. We all ought to be a Christ. It ought to be Christ the foremost. He is the one who gets the glory. It's not me or you, it's Him that does the real work, the heavy lifting. And we couldn't do a thing if He'd have left us on our own, but Jesus said, "I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Comforter to help you, to guide you, to show you the way." I'm certainly glad He did, because I'd be floundering around every day without the Lord Jesus Christ to lead me. Paul said, "Hey, guys, remember who shared Christ with you in the first place?" That's really important. You've got to start somewhere in your spiritual life. And starting with Christ is the right place. Mm-hmm. Put the emphasis on Christ. Put Him first and foremost in your life. Let other people know that without Christ, I can't do a thing, but with Him, I can do all things. He is the power behind it all. Praise God, He sent the Holy Spirit to live among us, to be inside of us, to show us the way. God, help us. We all need help every day. Paul further said, "Not only did I show you the way first," he says, "I've begotten you in Christ." He brought them to the one who sticks closer to us than any brother. You know, I've got some pretty close brothers, but Jesus is always there. And He'll be there for you as well if you receive Him in your life. Because of those things, the apostle says, "I beseech you, be followers of me." Be followers of me. Why? Because Paul was following Christ. Following Christ. And that's a good example for us. Many times people get their point of view wrong. They're looking at the wrong thing. They're looking at some person, some personality, instead of the one who really makes the difference in our lives. Don't follow somebody who's not following Christ. But if they're following Christ, you're both following the right one. Amen? Paul followed Christ. He encouraged these believers, follow Christ. Do what Christ would have you to do. How do we know what Christ would have us do? It's written in His Word. That's why we need to be in God's Word every day. We need to receive and implant in our hearts and our minds the Word of God. When a question comes up, we automatically think of the right answer because we've had so much of God's word in our hearts and minds that that comes out. And it's the truth for us today. Because they had some problems following Christ, though, he says this, I've sent to you Timotheus, my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every city or every church. Everywhere Paul went, he was preaching and teaching concerning Christ. That must be our emphasis. Keep Christ at the forefront. Jesus Christ will not lead you astray. He will lead you in the straight and narrow way. That's the way of our Lord Jesus. The problem they had is they were following people instead of a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. He's the one and only one that will never lead you astray. He will always lead you in the right way. Further, he says, some of you are puffed up. Another word of putting that is arrogant. Arrogant. You know anybody that's arrogant? Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to deal with. There's only one person that knows it all. And the quicker I say, Lord, I don't know, the better off I am. Because I know I need to turn to Him. Because He's got the answer for me and for you. That's our Lord. In fact, some there in Corinth said, we don't think you're coming. We don't believe it. We won't believe it unless we see it, if you will. Paul said, I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. You know, we always need to live our lives by that motto. I'll do this or that if the Lord permits that. If it's His will, I'll be there. If it's not His will, I won't be there. God has a will for each one of our lives. A perfect will. Problems come when I get out of that will. When I'm doing things in my own strength and my own way. And that was the Corinthian church. It was all about them and not about Christ. If you put Christ first, things will fall in line. Christ is not first. All is a mess. Further, he says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In other words, it's not just what I say, it's what we're doing, what God is doing through us, and how God is using us. That's the real power. The power behind us. The power inside of us. You realize we have more power than we need right here this morning. To turn the world upside down. There's more than a dozen of us here. God can use little things to do big things if it's lined up with Him. When He's in charge, when we're looking to Him, depending on Him for the power and the guidance and the direction, God will bless. Doesn't mean that we won't have difficulties along the way. We will. Because we're in battle as well. Mm-hmm. Battle for hearts and minds of people in our world. Mm-hmm. May God give us the power and strength and abilities we need to reach those around us. And I want to thank you all. How you were so attentive this week to do what needed to be done And we did it. With the Lord's strength, we did it. And God needs to be praised in all that's done and all that occurs. And you may never know the end result of this past week until later on down the line. But I assure you, seeds were planted. God will give the increase. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. Be with us, guide us, give us courage to face opposition, resistance, those that flat don't like us. Open their minds and hearts to the truth of God and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the one and only Savior of the world. Help us all, Lord, to commit afresh our hearts and lives to you. And I pray that you will reach many for Christ as we continue to share the word about him. Guide us and keep us, and make us instruments you can work through for Christ's sake. Amen.